Hi, welcome to Cochrane Alliance Church and our online sermons. We are so glad you are able to join us. We pray that this sermon will be a blessing and an encouragement to you this week.
Today we're going to begin a small little series in the book of Psalms for the next 3 weeks. And today we start with Psalm 95. And if you have your Bible, you can turn there, or you can turn your phone on and turn there, however you want to get there. That's where we're going to be. In 2015, Pixar released a movie titled Inside Out. And this past June, the follow-up, Inside Out 2, came out. And if you know anything about Inside Out, you know that the movie focuses around emotions. And the focus is on 11-year-old Riley. And she's navigating all the emotions that come with moving to a new city in the first movie. And in this first one, it personifies and gives life to five dominant emotions: anger, joy, disgust, fear, and sadness. And so you get this picture into the inner workings of her mind and how that creates her personality and her memories. And these five characters, led by Joy, they man this control panel, and it guides her through life. Well, in the first movie, Joy keeps trying to squeeze sadness out of the picture. Her perspective is, Riley just needs to be happy. But by the end of the movie, Joy begins to realize that true joy comes from also being able to express sadness. And the movie ends with Joy and sadness joining together, Riley and her parents on the journey that they are on, as they share their emotions with one another and understand that joy, sad, and everything else that comes works together to create core memories. Well, the book of Psalms in many ways is similar to this Pixar movie, Inside Out. It describes human emotion, specifically the inner workings of the heart. The Psalms is a collection of 150 chapters, and it expresses the heart and the soul of the contributing writers, the primary writer being King David. And throughout the Psalms, we find this whole range of human emotion that is expressed. Psalmists confess everything from sins to doubts and fears. They cry out to God in help. They share feelings of being overwhelmed and feeling despair, all to giving shouts of praise and thanks to God. And in all of this, honest feelings about God and the writer's experiences of him and of life are shared. And so in this sense, Psalms is really a call to pour out everything that we are experiencing to God, to lay our hearts out. Joy, praise, peace, anger, disgust, resentment, bitterness, woundedness, sorrow, confusion, depression, fear, whatever it is that we are experiencing, pouring it out, trusting that God will hear us no matter what it is that we're carrying inside. The precedent of the writers in Psalms show us that we can be honest with God about our emotions while finding hope within him. The Psalms show us that God is ready to receive whatever is happening with inside of our hearts. And that is the hope for us over these next 3 weeks as we look at three different Psalms. Our hope is that you will find points of connection and a voice to express what is happening in your life. And so to do this, we're going to look at three different genres of Psalms. Today, we're going to look at thanksgiving, we're going to look at praise, and we're going to look at lament. And at the end of each sermon, we're going to give you opportunity. You've all been wondering, why did I receive this sheet of paper this morning? We're all going to give you opportunity to respond by expressing your own psalm. Today, we again, we're going to focus on Thanksgiving. And again, this exercise for many might feel awkward and uncomfortable, especially for those of us who maybe don't know where we are on this journey with God. But again, we pray it leads to honest sharing between you and God about the experiences you have with him and the ways that you feel in the midst of it. And so Psalms of Thanksgiving are simply this. A Psalm of Thanksgiving is an invitation to enter into God's presence with worship by giving thanks for who he is and for what he has done. And Psalm 95 is one of these Psalms of Thanksgiving. So let's jump in this morning together, and we're going to begin by reading the first two verses from Psalm 95. It says, "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and with song." This is an invitation to be thankful. And it's easy for us to live with discontent. For some of us, a flat tire on the way to work or car troubles along the way can be a tragedy that wrecks the entire week. We get frustrated when we're stuck in traffic or we have to wait for a long period of time at the checkout. We covet what others have and we don't. We aren't happy with our relationships or the lack thereof. We are unhappy with our bodies and our looks. We feel we should be better. And why can't we succeed? We wish we had more money, better stuff, or a bigger house. So often we live with discontent. And the psalmist seems to know that discontent can hinder worship. And so he begins by giving this invitation to be thankful. This is because thanksgiving is the starting point of authentic worship. A heart that is filled with thanks for what the Lord has done is ready to enter into his presence because we are giving thanks for who he is and what he has done. It paves the way for us to enter into the presence of God. Thanksgiving is the entry point into worship. And so we should not rush into God's presence with questions, complaints, requests, but we should always begin with thanksgiving. I realize that at times it can be challenging. It can be difficult to give thanks. When life is full of challenges and hurts, disappointment, thanksgiving might be the last thing that's on our minds as we approach God. But can I suggest that despite what season you are in, there is always reason to give thanks to God. This is because thanksgiving is not dependent on our circumstances, but it is found in the unchanging character of God. See, giving thanks redirects our attention to God and away from our circumstances. True gratitude is directed at God, the giver of every good and perfect gift. In expressions of thankfulness, we exalt him and proclaim his faithfulness and confess that we have nothing apart from him. It does not belittle or ignore what it is that we are experiencing, but it puts the focus on God. And this allows thanksgiving to be continual and ongoing in our worship. During seasons of joy and grief, the psalmist invites us to always give thanks. The invitation that's given is also collective. Notice that the psalm says, "Let us." See, this is an invitation for God's people to worship collectively. And the "us" is all of God's children. Thankfulness often has an individual focus. However, here we read that thanksgiving should be done in community. Thanksgiving is not just simply a thank you card or a quick response given or a personal address. Those are expressions of thanksgiving. But more than that, thanksgiving is an open and public declaration with others to come and hear about what God has done in worship. The psalm is a call to give thanks to us together as a community. And it's this invitation for all the redeemed to glorify the one true God together. Like fans of a triumphant sports team, together we raise our voices in the praise to one singular God. A public thanksgiving allows other people to hear and be glad, and it encourages corporate praise. The invitation, thirdly, is an invitation into God's presence. See, God invites and wants us to come and worship him. God wants our presence, our fellowship, and our communion. And that's the privilege of worship. I want you to think about that in the sense that God has people like you and me on his mind when he says, come into my presence. For God to invite us to come and sing is indeed an invitation of grace. In fact, this word come is mentioned three times in those first few verses as well as verse 6. And when you read the word come, there's this privilege that is connected to that word. And there is a price that is connected to that word. It's a privilege for any of us to be invited to come before the Lord. David Guzik says, this means that worship should be done with a conscious sense of God's presence. God's people don't sing into an empty space. He is in their presence and they are in his presence. There is or should be a true connection between God and his people in worship, but we are often unaware of his presence. The act of thanking God not only reminds us of God's presence, but it often draws us into his presence, which is why this invitation to be thankful is so important. We don't just drift into worship with apathy, but thanksgiving allows us to be enveloped into the presence of God. Thanksgiving is a decisive act of worship that begins with this awareness of who God is and what he has done. And this is why the Psalms of Thanksgiving highlight exactly that, the person of God and what he has done. Let's continue reading verses 3-5. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all kings. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. In these verses, the psalmist is now highlighting and acknowledging God's power over the earth. The mountains and the seas demonstrate his sovereignty and his authority. And he's declaring the greatness of God as the one true God, the creator of all things. And he marvels that he has a relationship with God. He found himself overcome with reverence and with wonder, which became the source of his thanksgiving. The person of God and all he has done is where our thankfulness finds its beginning and its end. This is because God is behind everything that we are thankful for. And God wants to develop within us genuine thankfulness, not just words that come from our lips, but for it to be this natural overflow of our affections that have been stirred by God's greatness. Thankfulness that comes from being in awe of who God is. And to find ourselves in awe of God is to marvel at his greatness. to reflect on his grandeur and his excellence, to stand amazed by his strength, by his power, and by his majesty, to behold the beauty of the created world and universe. Thankfulness goes much deeper than simply counting blessings, but it is acknowledging the source of the blessing. In this, thankfulness is not left to our emotions, but rather it is rooted in this choice to acknowledge the true character of God. The greatness and the character of God should make us marvel at him. He deserves to be praised, to be worshiped, and to be given thanks. And the psalmist is saying, we have reason to give thanks when we stop and find ourselves in awe of who God is. I want you to watch this video, and hopefully it captures a little bit of that awe and wonder of who God is. Isn't that amazing? To just stop and see the wonder of creation and to know that our God is behind that. I love watching things about creation, things like Disney Nature or documentaries and stuff, and how you can see the intricate design behind everything. How can we not stop but wonder and be amazed that this is who our God is? When is the last time that you found yourself in awe of God? It's amazing how quickly we can grow numb to the wonder of God in our lives. We find it easy to lose the wonder of God as we grow older or as we just kind of become ritualistic and routine in our ways. But you were created for wonder. Created to marvel at God's creation, to awe at his wonders, and to admire his works. You were created for worship and for reverence. And for those of us who have placed our faith in Jesus, we need to find ourselves again in awe of who he is and what he has done. And for that to be the driving force behind our gratefulness and thankfulness to him. As a family, we started a new devotional with our daughter Kinsley, who's 7. And this is a picture of it. It's called it's by Louis Giglio. And it's called How Great Is Our God. And as he puts it, it really is all about discovering amazing things about who God is and what he has done. Kinsley and I pulled out a few just kind of amazing things that it captures in just a few of the devotionals. It focuses on angelfish that glow in the dark, exoplanets that and supermom galaxies that birth 740 stars in a year, deadly sea wasp jellyfish, trees that are called sandbox trees that if you get too close to can cause you to become blind, moonbows, which are rainbows but created from the light of the moon. More interesting facts about how God has created space and animals and earth and people. Each day is a different focus on a different aspect of something that God has done. And discovering the cool facts and nature behind it, but really, again, ascribing wonder to who God is. Louis Giglio does a lot on the indescribable nature of God. He's a great person to check out. This is a great book for families and kids. You could check out as well. He has a little clip called Stars and Whales. And he focuses on the noises that stars and whales make. And he kind of mashes it all together and how it comes together to give praise to God. He puts it to the music of How Great Is Our God. It's really neat to watch. If you have time, check it out. Thankful worship is rooted in the awe of God. The better we understand who God is and what he has done, the more we understand how great he truly is. And the more that we will want to then respond with thanksgiving. And so let's read the response that the psalmist gives in the next two verses of the psalm. And this is how we'll wrap up this psalm, verses 6 and 7. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. The response of bowing down and kneeling before the Lord in worship shows the significance of our posture when we come to worship. Our physical posture in worship is really an outward expression of what is happening inside our heart. If we look into the history of bowing and kneeling, we can see that there are two meanings when it comes to these postures: respect and humility. Examples that come to mind are subjects that bow before their king, actors taking a bow before the audience, students in maybe a certain discipline bowing before their teacher, a noble that kneels before the royalty to be knighted, kneeling to give a marriage proposal, or kneeling to seek mercy and forgiveness. This idea of bowing and kneeling is to place oneself lower than the person that you are bowing to or kneeling before. By bowing down, you elevate the other person. You are symbolically putting yourself beneath them. And these are positions of surrender. And so in worship, when we are acknowledging God's lordship over our lives and offering ourselves as a living sacrifice to him, we are recognizing that God is holy and we are not, that we are beneath him, that we are dependent on him and his grace in our lives. Bowing and kneeling in worship are physical positions that reflect a heart that is filled with humility and awe before God. Kneeling, bowing, lying face down, bowing our heads, lifting up hands. These are physical expressions that express a heart that is ready to humbly submit themselves before God. See, we do not bow, though, or kneel before a distant God. who views us as insignificant. Did you notice in verse 7 how it speaks to the truth that in worship we approach an intimate God who cares for his people, and that it's a God who desires a personal relationship with them? The way the psalmist expressed that was by saying that God was a shepherd and we are the sheep. This expresses a personal connection and the personal relationship and nature of who God is. God is a shepherd who cares for his flock. And this gives confidence to approach him in worship. Kneeling and bowing down as we thank him for who he is and what he has done. And so this morning we want to give you opportunity to do that. As I mentioned earlier, you received a handout on your way in. If you didn't get one of these handouts, Pastor Brent's going to be available, and he'll walk around with extra ones. If you need one, you can put a hand up. If you're down on the main floor, he'll pass one out to you. Or if you need a pen, he can do that as well. Up in the balcony, there are extra copies on the table. There should be pens, pencils, and chair pockets in front of you. But here's the thought and the idea. Using this guide and this template to be able to write your own psalm of thanksgiving. And we want to give you some time and some space to do that right now. And for some, you'll engage with it really well right now. Some of you, this is going to be awkward and hard, and we'll give some other ways to respond. Some of you might just want to take it, and then later in this week, today, or another day, you would rather do something like this than in your own time. And that's totally fine. But you'll notice there's three prompts on there to kind of guide you in how to write your own psalm. And there's a slide for point two. So James, if you go to that next slide, there's the prompts for number two. It took up too much space on the paper. So if you're online with us, this is accessible online. If you want a digital copy of it after the fact, if you go to the live stream, you'll be able to get this copy. There's a copy of it under the live stream as well, accessible that way. But I invite you now to take some time, and again, as it says, point one, you begin your psalm with a call or an invitation to God, invitation from God to give thanksgiving, and there's a few examples there. Number two is to give an invitation to praises, followed by declaring who God is, and here are some statements that kind of capture that. And number three is really going back to point one and using some of those same prompts. If you want to use those prompts, you can. You don't have to. There's other psalms of thanksgiving that are listed there that you can refer to. But again, take time. This is meant to express thanks to God. Again, rooted in this thought that giving thanks is for who God is and what he has done. And so we're going to put some music on, and you can respond in that time. As that music winds down, our worship team will come. We'll sing together to close our service. If you just want to sit in the music and reflect, that's okay. If you want to work on this, that's good too. But take some time to, again, approach God, to enter into his presence, and to give thanks for who he is and what he has done.